On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake. Find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Lamonte Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
Of Hitting the World starts this Thursday, and Sports Radio 92.9 The Game wants you to be a part of it with our opening day match day parties. They are brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Join us, Dukes and Bell, this Thursday. That's coming up next week, obviously, guys, from 2 to 6 for a match day party at the Twisted Oar on Lake Lanier Parkway in Gainesville. That's where we're going to be. 6 to 10. The party keeps going with Chris Thomas, okay, after we get done at the Branch House Tavern in Gainesville. At both locations, Michelob Ultra is giving you a chance to win tickets to the upcoming match in Atlanta. It's all brought to you by Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26. That's all this Thursday with Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's say good afternoon to our man Grant McCauley. And Grant, of course, host of From the Diamond. Last night, Grant, your impressions of what you saw from Chris Sale, because that was not the Chris Sale we have become accustomed to.
It really just came down to that one inning where it seemed like stuff spiraled a bit on him. Yeah, he got BABIP to death, if that's the baseball term for it, that batting average on balls in play for Chris Sale on all those hits. It added up to 188. But when you looked out there, they were piling up runs and they were able to take a lead. And it was still a close game until the bullpen kind of faltered there late and let them get some add-on runs. But overall, I don't know that I took a lot out of it other than he just, I think, wishes that he could have that one inning back.
And it's interesting, Grant, I know you talked about it on your social media, and it was reported that he really was gutting after it. Over 98 miles an hour, some of the biggest velocity we've seen from Chris Sale going back to 2018. So I thought he was very candid. We played the soundbite earlier in the show. It's almost like Spencer Strider-like talking about the things he's got to work on, and maybe with a little bit of an extended break, he can work on some of these things between starts.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that this rest in between starts is not a bad thing for Chris Sale. It's kind of that maintenance that the Braves were able to give him in 2024. And we're giving him last year, and then obviously he missed a whole chunk of time, so that kind of changed the dynamics, and we don't have to get into what 2025 wasn't for the Braves, but if you're going to do the things you want to do this year, you need big things from Chris Sale. We've seen that for the most part. Every once in a while, he's going to have a start where it's just not all there, it's not working for him, and you know he's not going to be able to do the things he wants to. But if yesterday was the worst version of Chris Sale that we see, more times than not, it still kept the Braves in the ballgame, so I guess it's all relative in the end.
Grant McCauley, our guest, guys. The crazy thing is, if I told you that the Pirates are fourth in the league with 325 runs this season, the Braves are third with 329. Guys, both of these offenses going into the weekend are humming right now. Grant, do you expect that to continue?
I think it could, and I mean, it's going to be an interesting challenge with the Pirates, you know, far and beyond, above what we've seen the past few years, because this has been a team that's been very incomplete, that has been, you know, very slow to add pieces that it needs, and honestly, they haven't really gotten much, if anything, out of Marcell Ozuna, but they've gotten a lot out of Brandon Lowe, among others, and I think that this is a club that has been able to build some, you know, exciting young pitching led by Paul Skenes. And we're not going to see him in this series, but that doesn't hurt when you've got the ace of your staff and have a staff ace, which the Pirates didn't have for a number of years. And they've just kind of been able to put some of these pieces together, and finally it's led to a 2026 where you're starting to see what it could be there. Now, will it continue to be? I don't know what the answer to that's going to be, but a much improved team from the run-scoring perspective and a team that's got some decent pitching as well. And I think you look at the NL Central, and there's really not a case to be made against the Pirates right now. And I think all they're trying to do is hang around, stay there, and if they're in the wild card hunt as well, I think for every club, you can look at that room and say, why not us? And if you can go out and get a couple of pieces, it could make a big difference for them. But overall, yeah, I would expect, as we've seen with the Washington Nationals, that you look at those run columns, they're able to score runs. That's a very real, a clear and present danger, Mike.
Hey, man, again, I always feel so bad for the Pirates. I think, Grant, you've been there and Carl's been there. It's just one of the great ballparks. It's one of you know, great traditions. My childhood, you think of, like, We Are Family and Stargell Stars and Dave Parker and those teams. And other than, you know, losing to the Braves 2 years, I mean, They've been nothing. Save for maybe what was it, Carl? Clint Hurdle took him to the playoffs once.
Yes, he did.
Like in the last 20 years. Hey, what's Martin Perez going to give tonight? His last three starts, he has made it through five.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of where Martin Perez, kind of the, I don't want to say the point of no return is, but the point that you want to get him to, and then you're probably comfortable with your bullpen doing a lot of the other work for him, is just getting you through that five innings. He's more than not been able to get kind of right on that cusp, but I also think that there have been a couple of those where Walt has just looked at it and said, it would be better, based on how many times he's gone through the order, for us to go ahead and go to a reliever to get us a better look, a better matchup, than trying to gut out Martin Perez going a third full time through the lineup. So if you get two full turns and a little bit more from Martin Perez, I think you're comfortable with that. Beyond that, it's kind of like the old football term, the game manager is what you're asking him to do. Keep it close, right. Keep it competitive. He's done that very well this year, and he's been kind of a nice little glue piece in rotation or bullpen, and even when you've had to bump him off the roster a couple of times and then bring him back. He's really filled some holes that the Braves have had in their pitching staff due to the injuries and some of the other inconsistencies we've seen.
Have we found a permanent home for Michael Money Harris? What I mean is he's hitting in the number two hole. His last seven games, Grant, he's batting .321, one homer, five RBI. We've talked about Walt Weiss's ability to change a lineup, and it's been great. He's been flexible. But is this where he should be hitting?
I think it's where he should be hitting for right now, but I think once you get Drake Baldwin back, you've got a real debate, and it's a good debate because then all of a sudden you can deploy one of the others in the middle of the order and use them as a run producer. But if I were to really look at where the Braves were when their lineup was humming along earlier this year, Harris was hitting somewhere in that middle portion of the order and really was coming on and putting things together, and you had Baldwin at two. So I'm probably more inclined to say that Drake Baldwin is the guy that you want it to, but if he ends up hitting fourth, or Michael Harris ends up hitting fourth or fifth, or however this whole thing shakes out, what you're looking at is a very capable top of the order when you got Ronald Acuna Jr. going, whoever you choose at two, Olsen at three, and then whoever you choose at four and five between Ozzie Albies, Drake Baldwin, or Michael Harris, then you want to start to see some of those other pieces of the lineup start to click again, and hopefully those will as the summer months heat up.
All right, it wouldn't be a wrap with Grant without me asking about Austin Riley again. right now, 1-for-10 for this homestand against Toronto. So again, why
you got to bring that up?
Well, the good news now, Grant, we did not. I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but Carl and I said the good thing is for Braves fans, no one's complaining about it because we are where we are. But some point, imagine if he gets to where he needs to be.
Yeah, and that's the thing, and I did talk about that on the show with regards to both Austin and Ronald, and we've seen Ronald start to swing the bat well and what that could do for this team, but we haven't seen it from Austin Riley. We haven't seen the consistency. I think we've seen some better swings at times from him, but there have also been some games where it just looks like he's somewhere, as we talked about probably a month or more ago, caught in between two different approaches, where it's you want to work counts, but you also don't want to miss your pitches, and I think that that's been a lot of what he's dealt with this year. I think that the bat speed is there, and as I've talked about time and time and time again, it feels like only a matter of time until he's able to turn that corner. But I do think that there is some, you know, impatience that's going to grow over time as he's not able to get that to that level, and it has been a while since he's been able to really go on an extended hot streak and just kind of remind you of how good he can be. But I firmly believe that that's in there. If you're doing this well without him, think about what you can do with him is probably the approach to look at right now with Austin Riley, because I think he's going to be a valuable, valuable piece for the Braves, not just in 2026, but over the life of that contract, which runs through the year 2032. So he's got to get this figured out, but it's been a rough couple of months to start the year.
All right, Grant, when are you on this weekend, by the way?
I'll be on Sunday from 5 to 7 from the Diamond here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I had a long conversation with David Justice on Tuesday. I'm really excited to share that. A lot of his great memories of the 95 series, the home run, worst to first in 91, establishing himself in the big leagues under the watchful eye of Bobby Cox. Some really, really great reflections from David Justice. So I'll be sharing that. I also got to catch up with Dominic Smith and kind of get an idea of what his, you know, first couple of months in a Braves uniform have been like, and kind of hear a little bit more of what's been going on for him and what's been going right for him more appropriately at the plate, as he's been a nice surprise for the Braves. So both those conversations, a lot of talk about the weekend series and what's coming up for the Braves as well, as from the Diamond, Sunday 5 to 7, and wherever you get your podcast in the Odyssey app.
Is Dave Justice still upset?
Is he still upset?
Yeah, his general feelings. I'm just going back now. You got me curious because I want to check this out on Sunday and hear it. But I'm
please do.
Yeah, and I will. But I'm just curious, like, how he feels about the organization. Where is he at now? Has he let everything go? I mean, like.
Oh, no. He loves his connection to the Braves, to Braves fans, and his place in Braves history. And I think that when you look at 95 in particular, he was upset with the fans just not giving that extra, degree of intensity that they saw and they experienced in Cleveland. Keep in mind, Cleveland was starved for a playoff and a World Series team.
Right.
For the Braves, it was starting to feel old hat. And that was kind of the machine he was raging against at that time. But since then, he's been back. He's in the Club Hall of Fame. He enjoys coming back, getting involved. I've loved catching up with him at spring trainings when he's been in as a special instructor. I'll be honest, he's one of my favorite people in baseball to talk to because David Justice has a swagger, but he genuinely is comfortable with who he is and tells it like it is, and it's very fun to hear guys like that reflect on their career and tell those great stories. And I got quite a few of them from David this past week.
Right.
Awesome.
Including getting free Coca-Cola from the A's.
Awesome. All right.
Remember Moneyball?
That's right. That's going to happen Sunday from the Diamond. All right, Grant, man, enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you next week, and hopefully we can win another series here against this Pirates team that's scoring a lot of runs. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Mike. We'll get you those peanut M&Ms.
But that's the thing. And, you know, it's funny. You talked, and we also talked about, I think we talked about the labor issues earlier this week.
We did.
You know, Tony Gwynn Jr., there was a disconnect with baseball fans and the 95, even when the Braves were winning that World Series, there were some empty seats, and that was all around baseball. But the Cleveland Indians, they hadn't been there in decades.
No.
You know, it was a different dynamic. And had we not gotten screwed by Eric Gregg had a rematch with the Indians, probably would have beaten them in 97. That team was so loaded.
It was loaded.
But 95, David just saying, let's go, fans. Let's get it together. Bring some noise.
Yeah, man. I was, I know he's talked about it, but I was curious if he still felt some kind of way. Interesting stuff there. You can listen this weekend and check it out from Grant. All right, coming up, NBA Finals Game 2 tonight. We got some stuff to get to.
Yeah, I want to give a shout-out real quick before I forget. We got our parents are showing up with their kids and some older parents with their adult kids for our big Father's Day contest winners here for the dinner tonight at Twin Peaks. Shout-out to Jackson and his dad, Jason Carl. They drove over 2.5 hours.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
Hours of traffic,
oh,
all the
goodness.
Way from north of Gainesville. Down 985, and I just posted the photo. A great picture. The kid's got a T-shirt that says "I love boobies."
That's
with the birds.
Wait, he does not.
Yes, Jackson, show Carl the shirt.
He does not.
Yeah, it says, and I said on Twitter, "Our kind of people."
Love it.
People really win with Dukes and Bell at 92.9 The Game.
That's awesome, guys. Thanks for coming. Thanks for being here. We're gonna have a good time. That's coming up. But when we come back, it's a must win tonight. It's Dukes and Bell.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.